5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Maybe when you talk to yourself, you make sense.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Oh, yeah, it's not myself.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice day. I tell you what, this is the best time of year in Melbourne. By that far, it doesn't matter, Bill.
Yes, Jim, I'm with you.
I'm talking February, March, April, absolute liquid gold.
Yes, Jim.
And today has been magnificent, the best city in the world, just turning it right on.
25 degrees, Jim.
Simona DiSilvestro.
That's it, Jim.
This is a V8 supercar driver of the highest order. I can't wait for her to come in.
Yep.
Midweek rub, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett. You'll hear everything you need to know about the magnificent world of AFL. That's coming up, and one of our all-time favourites from the Melbourne Football Club, the Petrarch. Have a go at him, too, Liddy. He's just getting nice and comfortable out on the couch out there. So we're looking forward to catching up with him as well. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Jimmy boy, listeners, and g'day to you, Leroy.
Let's make welcome the man whose all-time favourite film is Mrs. Doubtfire, Billy Brownlow.
That was Soul of Century many years ago.
So
of the century, Glenn Ridge and his wife, Sue.
Come on, Bill. You're better than that.
Dyson Heppel's come out because on the weekend, I don't know if you heard Johnny Worsfold say the Ban Bombers, so far this year, played four games, but they've hit a bit of a wall.
After four games,
Jim. They had a big one first round, of course, had a really good win over the Hawks, up and about. Just a couple of boys have been off a bit, and some of those players have felt the pinch, Worsfold said.
Yes.
It sort of hit us as a group. We have hit the wall a little bit, he said that. Mm. But then Dyson's come out today and said he means nothing by that. We're round four in a season. We've got an enormous amount of work to do, so the boys are ready to go. A good 10-day break, freshen up, and we'll be right.
Nice.
Well, they got the big game, haven't they, on Tuesday, the Anzac Day game. Yes. So stand by for that. Stevie J's back, Jim. The man who travels by train and bus.
Yes.
Certain to play this week. Trained very, very well because he likes playing against Sydney.
Oh, he does.
You know who he likes having a go at?
Who? Big Bud.
He likes to take on. In. They have a bit of a go each
and
time.
And so does Big Mumbles.
So
not a lot of love lost between those two clubs.
Oh, mate.
Last year, remember the game leading into the finals when all sorts of sledging was going on?
Plenty going on.
People weren't happy with what was being said and clubs behind, simmering.
You want your best sledger out there.
Oh, I like it.
So, Stevie,
I do like it.
Still no sign of Brett Deledio.
Amazing.
So it's round four. It might be another 4 weeks, Jim, with that calf and things like that. So that's good.
Yes.
Oh, now, poor old Jakey Kelly, he got a finger in the eye last week.
No.
He's out.
Out.
Out for a week, poor old Jakey. He's been doing his
concussion
job.
From that. Was he concussed with a finger in the eye or
The doctor said recommend have a week off.
Oh, no.
A specialist, Jim. Right eye up. Specialist, yes. I assume.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Wasn't a foot specialist.
It wasn't Dermot Barrett. Eye specialist.
Eye specialist. Yeah. Oh, yes. But so he's having a week. He's been all right, Jake. He's just done his job back
there.
Nice.
And good to see him playing.
Guess who's having another week off?
Who?
Josh Jenkins.
Oh, no.
That's three.
Bill.
Jim.
He'll come after you.
He's highly unlikely to return after a rib injury.
Yep.
Gee, wow, wee. Poor old Joshy. Some people said it was
okay. Didn't they just
say? I think I heard Duck say that.
Yeah.
And Scotty Selwood back in the VFL side for the Cats this week. He's been out with a toe or a foot or something.
Good.
They've lost Sam Menengola and James Parsons. You would have heard that on the news just then.
Yes.
And so they're out.
Oh, yes.
And
you're an idiot.
Lincoln McCarthy comes in with Scotty Selwood. So a bit of footy news there. But when we talk footy, we got our favourite in, Jim.
And what part of the world is he from?
Who, Narre Warren?
No, the Petrarch.
Lang Warren.
No, it's out beyond
Warrandyte.
Bulleen. So do you go out past there?
What is Warrandyte?
Starts with a D, doesn't it? Anyway.
It's Warrandyte.
Where's the family home where they're going to have the bloody
Nonna.
Big dinner? Yes, yeah, so that's what we need to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, we'll find
anyway, one of our favourites, we speak to Christian Petrarca next.
This is Petrarca. Good sizzle from outside 50 to Petrarca. Have some of that.
Oh, off a step, if you don't mind, Bill. Outside 50. Yes. Bang.
Good goal, that.
It was a very good goal. It was Doncaster, you idiot. That's where they come from. Warrandyte's Glen Archer territory. Petrarca, good to see you.
Where are you from?
Thanks, guys. I'm from Warrandyte.
See, Jim, you
Who said Narre Warren?
Idiot said Narre Warren. That's down near bloody office or something.
Oh, then Swanky Drive. Yeah, that's
Swanky
where you're
from. Hey, playing very nice football.
Thanks, mate.
As
I appreciate
you. The club have had a couple of wobbles lately, but you're getting a nice little run at it.
Yeah, disappointing, obviously, the last 2 weeks. We should be probably 4-0, to be honest. Mm. But obviously, that's the way footy goes. Got to ride those roller coaster. But no, we're going all right. Obviously, I've been playing a bit of half forward, trying to get myself into the midfield. Simon Goodwin's been awesome and leading the way as well, which is good.
I'm just having a look at that. Minutes in the midfield, there's a stat there.
Yes.
Not very many minutes for you, Petrarch, when you are a midfield bull.
I can't really answer that, no, to be honest.
Well, you'd like a bit more time, do you say?
Probably eating too much of Nonna's, I reckon. Maybe need to lose a bit of weight.
Do you see Goody and say, come on, Goody, just give me a run through there, mate?
Oh, sometimes. Off
air.
A little bit.
What's holding you back with that? Is it the tank? Are you not covering the ground well enough?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just we've got so many guys going through there. We've got Viney, Clary, Jonesy, Louis as well, after suspension. There's just so many guys going through, and I'm pretty happy with the half forward role at the moment.
You know what? You've just mentioned four or five of them. None of them were taking two overall. None of them are bringing the heat you're bringing to this discussion. So you can head into Goody and say, the Flotsam and Jetsam can do what they like. Get the main man in there.
Don't think I can say that. No. I'll probably get dropped, to be honest.
Hogue's back this weekend, Hogan.
Yeah, it'll be very exciting. Yeah. So big game against Richmond on Anzac Eve. It should be an awesome one.
That will be a big game. Has he been training? He's back. He's all good.
He's back. He's
off the darts.
Off the darts. Yeah, I feel sorry for him, to be honest. But yeah, he went over there just to have a good time. And yeah, got a bit of flack, to be honest. But not great. But he'll be back. He'll be back and bounce back well.
And what about the bloke that wears number 10 for Melbourne? Is there any danger of him getting a game? Or
Big Gus?
Gus. Come on, Gus.
Not like we're talking about Hawthorn circa 1989. He should be able to squeak in there somewhere.
Well, he's your nephew. Probably got a better relationship. You probably speak to him a bit.
I need to bloody speak to him.
So you haven't spoken to him at all? Or?
Snappy. Oh, you need to snap him out of it. I don't know what's going on with
that. Do you talk to your nephew?
Well, not when he's in the twos.
No. Can't get sign jumpers.
Ain't no bloody good to be running around for Casey.
Now, 2-2 Melbourne. You could be 4-0, couldn't you?
Yeah, I know. We could be.
Should have beaten the Cats.
Should have, could have.
Yes, and then should have won on the weekend.
Yeah.
What did they say after the game? What did Goody say after the game? Because you hit the front and then they got that lucky, bounce in the air, and then McCarthy just got the old hair bun on it.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing, to be honest. Mm. I think halftime we're up about 25 points, then they just came, kicked six in a row or something in the third quarter.
We just left
it a bit too late. We got up with about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, and we just needed a bit of composure. I think we were just playing too fast, especially the third quarter when we need to find a mark and just relax and just use our full 15 seconds and just, get off the mark and find another mark. But we just kept bombing it back to them. And
So this is more to what I would be saying to Goody. When you've got a 7-1 against happening, Bill, in other words, all the momentum going the other way.
Hard to stop after
you've had two very good quarters and got yourself established. That's when I'd be walking into Goody and saying the Italian Stallion needs to walk into the middle and start influencing it a little bit.
If I call myself the Italian Stallion, I'd be dropped. Listed, I reckon.
What do you call yourself?
Just Christian.
In there with a bit of Mundy, Fife.
Yeah.
They got a good midfield.
Very good midfield.
Mundy's playing more forward these days as well. He had two on the weekend.
Fife was very impressive on there. I thought he was quiet for most of the day. He's not pretty well held, just didn't dominate as he can. But when it mattered late in that game, he went in and had a huge impact.
Yeah, I played a bit in the last quarter. I started the first centre bounce in there, and just the way he tacks the ball, he just throws his whole body in there, and it's just crazy. And Sandlin as well, he's a big man mountain. Yeah. I remember Spencer kicked the goal on him and thought to get into him and pushed him and just felt like pushing a brick wall, to be honest. Pushed me back and fell straight to the ground. I shouldn't have done that. I should have apologized to him, actually.
No, that's good. Remember Stevie ran out flat out at him and hit him and just went bang. Bang. Like, he's a brick wall.
He'd weigh over 130 kilos.
Oh,
I reckon.
Mate. And he moves around all right, doesn't he?
He does the old calf raise jump when he marks it. He doesn't jump. He just does the old calf raise. He doesn't need a jump.
But you're right. It's a game you should have won. Yes. And I reckon you'd be disappointed with that because you did a lot of work to get yourself into a winning position. But the indications are that you're on the move as a club.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the way we're moving our ball is a lot better. And we're down by 25 at three-quarter time, and we got back within 3 points within 5 minutes. So, we're on the right path, and Simon Goodwin keeps reiterating to us. It's just that journey that we're on, and as I said before, we're going to ride those bumps. But
you've got to win them sometimes. We do,
Bill. Mm. But, you can't always, have that positiveness, but we're on the up, which is the main thing.
Very good. All right, we need to have a little break and then find out what's happening out in bloody
Warren Dyett.
Warren Dyett. Not Nary Warren.
Doncaster.
With Nonny. Nonna.
Melbourne's Italian stallion Christian Petrarca in studio.
That's him, Bill.
Yes.
186 centimetres, 94 kilos.
94.
Lost 5 kilos as well, to be honest.
So you came down from 99. You're 100.
About that.
Oh, Petrarca, what have you been eating?
Oh,
pasta.
Mate, you got to come over for dinner. Well,
when is that happening, Bill?
Oh, I don't know. We said that 12 months ago.
Well, I ran into the old man at Kittens. No.
My mum's over in Italy at the moment. Maybe he did see him there.
Yeah. No, at a charity ball at Crown. Mm-hmm. And he came bowling up to me, a very nice man too, as you would expect, Jimmy
Tony,
boy.
Yeah, big Tony.
Big Tony. He said, when are you coming for dinner? I said, mate, it's on. So we're going to do it now that Petrarca's come in here. So within the next week, I'm coming out.
Within the next week?
Or two, or three.
All right, we'll give him two.
Where is Warren Dyett?
Oh, it's only half an hour from here.
Oh, it's out.
Eastern Freeway.
So I get to Moe and then what?
As I said, that's Glenn Archer territory. Yeah,
from the MCG, you just go straight on the Hoddle Street.
Yeah, Eastern Freeway.
Then get off at Blackburn or Springvale and you're basically there.
There.
And your beautiful grandmother, what's her name again?
Artemisia.
Right, now what would she cook for old Fat here? Because he's got a bit of capacity.
It will start off with the seafood.
Yes.
Yeah, some calamari or prawns.
Right. Good.
And then we'll probably enter with the either lasagna or ravioli. Or.
And then we finish with the sticky date?
No. There's still one more course.
There's
still the roast pork or the roast lamb.
I wonder you'd be a 94. and then how do we finish off?
And then you got the old sponge cake or the chocolate ripple. And then coffee and tea.
And grappa.
And yeah, a bit of grappa. Galliano at the start. So you're laughing.
Bill, I'm telling you now, you're going out there to get stuck right in all of that.
Fat as a fool.
Well, you are now, so we won't have any issue with you.
No, we're going to do that with all the family.
They'd love it.
Robert and Julian, they're your brothers. They play footy?
Yeah, both of them do. Both play for Mitcham. So.
Oh, how Mitcham going?
They just play one game. They had a bye, so they're one and zip at the moment, which is good. Divi 2 in EFL.
Oh, good. So. Good on them. Yeah. You go along there and support the mighty Mitcham.
Yeah, sometimes. Falcons. I'll go on the weekend. They're versing, Upper Fendry Gully, maybe.
Maybe they versed them.
I'm not so sure, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And great to see Mitchy Hibbard, the pig, and yourself heading to the G to sleep. Has that happened or is that coming up?
Yeah, ambassadors of the Melbourne City Mission. I think it's the 5th of May.
May 4th.
May the 4th, sorry, not the 5th. Everyone get down, basically just supporting youth and homelessness. I think there's about 7,000 Victorians or youth Victorians who are without a home. So it's a pretty staggering number.
Yeah, it is.
So I think everyone just get down and families and friends and just come and sleep in the G, which would be an amazing spectacle. They've got a concert and a band and you can just sleep on level one. It would be awesome.
Register now to get stuck into that at sleepattheg.com.au.
Yep. Sign up.
I'll
be there. A few other Melbourne boys will be there, good. So it'll be good.
We did that. I did that one night with Joby and all the staff from here, Jim.
How'd you go, Bill?
Didn't get a lot of sleep.
Didn't you?
It's cold, which you would expect.
Yeah.
And you get a bit of cardboard and you've got to sleep on the...
So no blow-up mattress or anything?
No. Well, I slept on a bench, actually, like a massage bench, which wasn't bad.
Oh, but, really? Oh.
Yeah, but Joby's here. She snores.
Yeah, but you got 7,000 people there, Bill.
Oh, I know. So... I don't know if I actually made it all the way through.
Oh,
it's bloody hard
what
to do.
What time
did you
head
sleep
off?
The night?
I haven't done it yet.
Who's Jack Ryan?
No, he just called me. He's probably listening to it right now, trying to stir me up. No, I haven't done it yet. So we did one for Year 12. I was house captain, and we had one for that. But that was in Warrandyte. That would have been a bit negative degrees, I reckon.
It would have been out there.
We stopped at 12 o'clock at night, I reckon.
Hey, if you had a sprint at the club, let's say not 100 meters, let's say 50 meter sprint. How far would Jeffy beat the next sprinter?
Oh, I reckon Jaden Hunt beats him.
Jaden Hunt
wins it. No, that's why I brought it to 50. I thought if it's 100, Hunt wins. Do you reckon Hunt still wins over 50?
Jaden Hunt was on the Sunday Footy Show. He ran 100 in 10.9. 10.9.
Yep. I just thought he'd take a while to wind up, whereas Jeffy...
Yeah, true.
We do 20 metres. Yeah, we get the GPS, I don't know what they're called now, jumpers and... the highest top speed they run is 35 k's an hour, which is absurd. And Sam Frost as well is a big boy. He'd be 6'5", 6'6". He can run up there as well.
Right, Jaden Hunt, he's an intriguing bloke.
He's a weird cat.
Yeah. Mate, when they got beaten, when did you get beaten?
On the weekend.
Saturday. He went to Luna Park with a mate. He went to Luna Park.
Same day.
That night.
He wanted to cheer himself up.
Well, he runs 110.9. He's got the biggest middle finger.
Oh, no.
It's massive.
They used to make him get into the vending
machine. Rude finger.
Yeah. Chip Frawley made him get into the vending machine and he could get the can of Coke and flick it out.
in the bottom right corner.
He is a different cat, but I love him.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Jeez, he's quick.
Let me ask the same question. If there's a chance to get a goal out the back.
Hey, Jeffy.
All right, who wins it?
Jeffy, definitely. Jeffy. If you can sniff a kill for a tackle, it's Jeffy any day of the week.
I tell you what, though, I love a Melbourne side with Jeffy Gullett in it.
Yeah,
it's
unreal.
Such an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing as well. Obviously, he's 150th on the weekend and we didn't get up for him. But, you don't look at it, though. When you're out there, you don't really see other people's stats or anything. But you look after the game. He's had 7 forward half 50 tackles.
Yep.
And just that stuff just really, gets the club going and confidence as well. And that tackle against Carlton as well, when we're down against Doherty in the forward 50, it just it really spurs us on.
I felt for the young Wiedemann Kitty on the weekend. Because he got dinged, didn't he? Got a bad corky.
And he tried
to ride the bike through it and then he tried to get out there and work through it because you needed him out there. And so he ended up with 4 touches or something. But I could see a young fella mentally trying to just get over that hurdle to help his side.
Yeah, it's one of those corks you just can't get rid of. Yep. Eh? It's right up high. And you should see the swelling on it now. It's just crazy. It looks like he's on his knee, to be honest. But he'll run Thursday and hopefully he can get up for Monday night. But if not, then we've got Hogs coming in as well, which is awesome. Hogs,
yeah. Good sign of the calibre of the kid he is, though, the fact that he kept trying
to push through. Definitely. He's a real competitive beast. And that's what we're trying to create at the club, is just a competitive mindset and also off the field as well. Just, getting... A lot of great blokes at the club.
Now, the other bloke I see a fair bit, of course, down at Barry's gym, where I work the leather very hard, Petrarch, is Jimmy, your fat, bald-headed, gotcha man. Do you get in with him?
Jimmy Kastaris,
do you slap him around?
No, I don't slap him around. Actually, my mum got my dad personal training lessons with him. Yep. Got him 10 lessons there, and dad can't stand him, to be honest.
Oh,
he loves him as a bloke, but when he's out there, he can't stand him.
So you don't do
any
of the boxing?
He's got this thick padding on that you whack, rips at him. And
yep.
He doesn't feel a thing.
Nothing.
And then you put your hands up on his head and he hits you in the stomach and he cracks it at you for complaining.
So you avoid the boxing?
No, I avoid it, yeah. I'm more of a bike person, swimming. I don't want to swim.
Swim. You float. You sink. You jump in. You go bang to the bottom. Hey, Maxi Gordon, have we seen Maxi around?
Yeah, Maxi's still around. He's doing his rehab. He's going well, the big fella.
Big Maxi, or you miss
got
him.
Got the new coffee shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, has he got a new coffee shop?
I don't know. He's talking about getting one.
He'll get one soon. Yeah. He loves that. That's his passion.
Oh, yeah.
His mum's got an unbelievable. His mum's got a ripping coffee shop down in his area.
That's the one I might have been referring to. Yeah, I know he's telling me about a coffee shop recently. Jakey Spencer, what's happened to not just the shag, the head on that man? Well, what's he honestly doing with himself?
He looks like the burglar of Home Alone. Yeah, the Home Alone 2 in New York.
That's it.
Yes.
It's quite funny. He's newly engaged, so he says he doesn't have to really try anymore. He's got the missus, so he doesn't care anymore. But no, he's awesome. He's unreal. He'd almost be a cult figure at any other club if he wasn't with us.
Yeah, with Maxi.
Yeah, exactly right. But he's going well, and we love him. He's just so competitive, and that's all we want as a ruckman, just to create a contest and for our midfielders.
All right, well, let's get you out to...
The girls. You still got the same girlfriend?
Yep, Paige.
That's right, Paige. Will she come over when I come around?
If you want her to, Bill.
Yes, bring her over.
All right.
And her mum.
No. We need to get you out to Grandma's house and fill you right up.
Fill you right up, mate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. We'll weigh you beforehand and after, I reckon.
Oh, no. A couple of frothies we'll have.
A couple of frothies.
We get around and sing by the piano. Do all
piano?
That. Do you have a...
No.
we need to make that happen. A big game. Easter Monday night against Richmond, which has become part of the calendar every year, which is
Anzac
great.
Eve, yeah.
Anzac Eve, sorry. Yeah, so good luck with that. Huge game
Thanks,
for your
guys.
Footy
Appreciate
club.
It.
And
Thanks for
good,
coming.
Well done with the footy you're playing.
Good Thank you. Thanks team. For having me.
Simona Di Silvestro, Bill,
it,
who is one of the very few female supercar drivers and doing an absolutely brilliant job. Simona, welcome to Triple M.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Simona, she's the first full-time female driver in supercars era, of course. So that is a fantastic effort. We've seen you. Well, I haven't seen a lot of you, but at Bathurst, you had a couple of good, one good round there. And then I think you crashed out in another Bathurst, didn't you?
Yeah, my teammate crashed in the first one. So that was kind of a long weekend a little bit for us. But, that happens sometimes. And last year we did okay. We finished 14th. Which was okay, definitely time to get better this year.
Now, from Switzerland, can you tell us what the name of the town is, please?
Toon. That's where I was born.
That's T-H-U-N, but pronounced Toon.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It is. Looks absolutely magnificent. So how did you come from being a young lady in Toon, Switzerland, to driving V8 supercars in Australia?
Yeah, quite a long story, actually. Actually, racing is banned in Switzerland, which is kind of a bit of a weird thing since 1955. So my dad would take me go-karting in France and just, you know, starting up like that. I did 10 years of go-karting. I started when I was six. So yeah, I really loved it. And then I went to America for about 8 years, raced in Indy cars over there. Mm. Had the dream of Formula One, like every race car driver, and tested for Sauber in 2014. And last year I drove Formula E, which is the electric series. And now I'm here in Australia. So it seems like my career is kind of going a little bit all over the globe, but I'm pretty happy to be in supercars now.
Because they're very different forms of racing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Open tire to car or, you know, whatever you would call the category. So tell us what the differences are.
Well, biggest difference is just, I think the driving style is quite different because, you know, an open wheel car, like a Formula One car, Indy car, there's a lot of downforce. So there's a lot of grip just from the wings and stuff like that, where in the supercar you don't have. And it makes it quite difficult. Also, you know, you're in a closed car, the view is different and all that. If you don't have much experience in those type of cars, it takes you a little bit while to understand how to drive the car, because also the braking is much different. It's much longer because you don't have all that downforce helping you.
Yeah.
No, it's good. And I'm just looking at Toon. It's a magnificent city or town, is it? Reminds me a lot of Geelong, like these beautiful
lakes. Heard.
You've been to Geelong?
No, not yet. I've only heard good.
You haven't been to Geelong?
No, I haven't.
It's got the Yu Yangs there. There's
Simona,
the mountains.
It looks nothing like that. nothing like that.
Do you got family back there? Do you ever get back there?
Well, I was actually in Switzerland this week. Last week. Geez. Yeah, I just got back yesterday. So I tend to go, not in Toon, because that's where I was born and I only lived there for a little bit. But yeah, my parents live close to Geneva and I live in Zurich, technically. So yeah, I'm back home.
On the border.
Mm-hmm. So how then were you not a downhill skier? Like,
yes.
what was the whole thing about go-kart racing?
I guess my dad was more into cars than skiing, I guess. But it is definitely a thing. I think when I was two, when it was the first time I got on skis. So it's definitely something that we do in Switzerland. But yeah, my dad has a car dealership in Switzerland. So I was always around cars. He was a passionate, like, he liked to watch Formula One on TV. Yep. So he kind of got me the bug a little bit. And when I was four, he did a go-kart demonstration on the parking lot at the dealership and saw that and really wanted to try it and couldn't reach the pedals. So I cried the whole day. And he finally gave in at the end of the day and said, okay, if you grow a little, I'll get you your go-kart. So when I was six, it's finally when it happened. And then I was playing different sport, but racing was always like the coolest thing that I could do and really loved the speed and stuff like that.
So with the test with Sauber, how close did you get to your dream of driving Formula One?
Well, I tested quite a few days, which went well, but in racing, it's a weird sport where you're really dependent on sponsorship, unfortunately. And especially in Formula One, you need quite a big budget. And a lot of smaller teams don't have the budget to give the chance to young drivers. So you have to kind of find the money. And it makes it really difficult. So, it was pretty close, but definitely a little bit just missing a little bit of sponsorship money.
So why is racing banned in Switzerland?
There was a big crash in 1955 at the 24 Hours of Le Mans in France. Yeah. And then, as we are in Switzerland, we tend to be, you know, pretty careful and stuff like that. So they banned it, unfortunately. But it's funny because it's closed circuit racing is banned, but like going on the hill, like hill climbed is allowed, which I don't really get because I think it seems way more dangerous to do that.
Wars are also banned in Switzerland.
I'm not sure about Switzerland, Jim, but the flag's a big plus.
Yeah, it is a good one.
We need to get to a break. More with Simona after this on the Rush Hour.
V8 supercar driver Simona Di Silvestro in studio.
Yeah, heading down to Phillip Island, of course. And you were saying off air, it's your first look at Phillip Island, yeah?
Yeah, I've watched some videos and things like that. But yeah, this year, everywhere I go, it's just brand new. So, but Phillip Island looks really cool. I remember watching like MotoGP there. Yep. So I think it'll be quite a lot of fun to race there.
What is, because I understand, and I'm no expert by the way, but they've built that track for MotoGP, like it was a bicycle track. Yeah. So is that going to affect the way cars go around?
It won't affect it. It's just a little bit different. You know, I think it's a lot of flowy corners, a lot of high speed stuff. So that makes it just, I think, tougher for us cars to, you know, run close to each other. But I think it'll make good racing because the tire degradation is quite big. So yep. I think there'll be a lot of people like playing on strategy, which always makes it cool, you know, because it's not going to be just follow the leader or anything like that. So that'll be really fun.
You've had a couple of crashes this year. Crashed into by James Courtney in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And then last week over in Tassie, you were in that 12 car pileup.
Yeah.
That was a big prank, that one.
It was a big one, yeah. I'm really lucky that nobody really got hurt, but we kind of got the tail end of it, so didn't have much damage to it. But yeah, some cars got really destroyed. Actually, my teammate Rick's was pretty destroyed. So yeah, pretty unfortunate. But in the rain, it's always so difficult because you really can't see. And if something goes wrong, especially there, it's quite narrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, nowhere to go really.
And the boys, are they looking after you? Or is it so competitive that they don't really care?
I think they don't really care. You know, I think because at the end of the day, we're all drivers and you try to do the best job you can. But for sure, I think in my career, you know, almost always being the only female, I think you just have to prove yourself, you know, that you belong. And I think as long as you get the results and are competitive, you know, you're accepted like any other drivers.
So, Simona, you're a resident of Melbourne, St Kilda, obviously you live there. You're sitting in your Nissan Maxima or whatever.
Ultima.
You're getting around in. No, I'm talking about just in the on the normal roads, not on the track. And some bonehead tries to come up on the inside and rev his car thinking he's going to get you off the line.
Yeah.
Do you ever just wind the window down and say, you're actually taking on a V8 supercar driver, so I would just wait?
Well, it's funny because on the road, apparently I drive like a grandma. That's what all my friends say. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know why. Because I think I'm too careful. Maybe it's the Swissness, you know, coming out of it. I don't know. But yeah, I kind of tend to just leave the aggressiveness on the track, and whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter on the road, I think.
How is the Nissan? Is it all right?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think last weekend in Tassie wasn't that great for us, but hopefully, you know, I think Phillip Island is going to suit us a bit more, so hopefully we can have some good results there.
Do you know Roger Federer?
I don't know him, but I hope that next year, you know, I get to meet him now that I live here, you know.
Yeah, when
there's a big tennis tournament here all the time.
Australian Open. When he comes out for that, surely. Do you go along with the other Swissies?
Well, the few there is, I don't know.
Is there many Swiss in Melbourne?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's always got a great following at the tournament.
Yeah, well, it's funny, like for such a small country, somehow there's always Swiss people everywhere you go. So it's quite funny.
Who else is famous from Switzerland?
Well, Wawrinka is Swiss as well. So Stan.
Who else other than Stan and Rog?
I don't know. There'll be some other race car drivers, who are driving in Le Mans and stuff like that.
But it's a winter sport thing, isn't it?
Yeah, skiers and all that. Bobsled, you always can count on us,
Hey, what if, after you've completely dominated supercar racing, is there another form that you're really keen on? Like, I know Mark Webber left Formula One to go and race the Porsches in Europe, which I know is really big. What else appeals to you?
Well, you know, for sure, you know, I think F1 is always a dream that it kind of lures around there. But, you know, I really want to make my career here in supercars. And it's only my first year, you know, I've done like 2 races so far. So there's still a lot of work. But you never know what happens, you know. But there's people, you know, like Craig Lowndes who are running a long time. So you never know. You know, as long as I'm racing in a competitive car, it doesn't really matter.
Well, you are doing that at the moment. Good luck.
WD-40, Phillip Island 500, Jim.
That's it. Tickets available, tickertech.com.au. Tell us what it is, by the way. You've got 2 races over the course of the weekend?
Yeah, with 2 races. So 2 times 250K, which are 2 long races, a little bit like Adelaide format, which will be good. Yeah, practice starts on Friday.
Nice.
And 1 qualifying session before each race.
Good luck with that, and
thanks
very much for coming by.
Thanks.
Yeah, we feel very, very good. Second hour here, Willis.
Yes.
And we got Damo and the Chief coming in for a nice helping of the midweek rub. Of course, Sappens comes your way every Wednesday. Everyone loves it.
I do.
Pretty much as simple as that.
The Chief, of course, we've got a few questions for him.
We need to ask him too.
Exactly.
Very strongly.
Hey, poor old Alan Christensen, who was with the Cats. Alan played in the Premiership there with the Cats, went up to Brisbane. Played his first game in the Neufel on the weekend because he'd had a fractured collarbone.
Yes.
And guess what happened?
What happened?
24 disposals, 10 tackles, pulled up sore, sent for scans, and he's got a broken collarbone.
No
so
way.
He's out for the year.
A year,
out for the rest
How
of the year.
How can he be out for the year with a broken collarbone?
Oh, well, he's broken it twice now in a couple, so they're going to be very careful. Mm-hmm. He's 25, played 98 games. Mm-hmm. That's a shame for Chris O, who's a good young fella.
A talented player, too.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Jimmy. Jimmy Grant's. Do you know Jimmy Grant's?
No.
Very good restaurant. Yeah, well, I sent in some fish souvlaki, Jim, which I just thought I'd mention.
That's from what?
Fish souvlaki.
Oh, right. What, just from locally, just decided they'd send that in?
Well, it's a very good restaurant, Jim, and they're doing the fish souvlaki.
They thought you'd
They thought fat would like that.
Yeah, righto.
But I didn't have any, so that means I'm not...
Jimmy Grant's.
Jimmy Grant's.
Right,
Grant, not Grant's. Grant's, it's Grant's.
Yeah, Grant. It's not a Grant. They're not handing you money.
There's some interesting thing what Victorians and South Australians say, isn't there, Jim?
It is. Very interesting.
Christian Petrarca.
Like Castlemaine.
A Castlemaine.
How's it castle? How is it a castle? It's a castle. The movie's called The Castle.
Yeah, you're right. The movie is called The Castle.
So why do you ever call it Castlemaine?
Well, Castlemaine.
Thank you.
Christian Petrarca said versing.
Versing, he did. My young blokes all say it too. It's not actually a word, versing.
Well, Carlton versing.
Yeah, versing Richmond. Who are you versing? And the thing is, Bill, mine say it all the time. So, you know, let's say they're playing a game of local footy. They go, this week we're versing Dandenong or whoever. And I'm like,
which you are.
What the hell's the versing bit?
And the other one you don't like is in cricket when we say,
how'd you go out?
How'd you go out?
Yeah, I used to come here, playing for WA South Australia, and someone would go, how'd you go out? And I go, no, I didn't. I stayed in.
I didn't have a drink.
I didn't want to have a drink because I had to play the next day.
But it's a classic what we say here. How'd you go out?
How'd you go out?
LB, caught me on.
I'd never heard it anywhere else in cricket in the world. Yeah, just a unique Victorianism.
And what you hear in India all the time, out him.
No, that's from the stands. Oh. So as soon as there's an appeal, all the Indian supporters, out him. They absolutely love it. Yeah. Hey, we need to get to a break because old topics. How have I missed out?
Oh,
I've been on fire.
You have. But just have a spell.
Oh.
Have a spell, Jimmy.
Topics, Brownless.
Oh, no. I've handed over to Topics.
Yes, Jimmy boy. And I was just sitting at home in the pad there in G-Town. Wish they'd fix me road. Yes. And just watching, I was about to watch TV, Jim. And I was got my pillow out. Oh. And Jill knitted me a lovely blankie.
A throw rug.
Which leaves bloody wool everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere,
all
Jim.
Over your joint.
Oh, yeah, exactly. When do they stop de-wooling? So I've got my little blankie and I've got my pillow. Do you reckon, Jim, I could find my bloody remote?
No.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
It's not like you're sharing the joint with eight other people.
That's right. I put it on the table and it's not on the table anymore.
What happened to it?
I don't know, that little Max, comes in. Anyway, so you walk around for half an hour, you can't turn on the TV, you got to try and turn it on the side and things like that. So, Jim, 133353.
Oh, Hans.
Hans. Tell us about your first world problems, Jim. We've done this before.
Listen to the setup.
First world problems.
You've got to have some setup craft. You can't just finish telling the story, go hence, and then read out what Jill's written.
Well, it's very frustrating, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you another first world problem.
What?
My car has a twin diesel set of tanks in it.
Yeah.
So it takes about 120 litres, a big Land Cruiser.
Big.
So, Bill, when you turn up to the odd petrol station, not all, but the odd petrol station, you can choose between normal speed and high speed diesel coming out of the pump.
No.
High speed is golden.
I've never seen it.
Takes you less than half the time to fill the bloody thing up.
Oh, wowee.
So I think to myself, self, what's wrong with there being that button on all petrol gauges?
I've never seen it or heard of it.
Bill, because you know when you're standing there and it's going one.
Yeah.
Two. And you think this is going to take half an hour to fill
the
bloody thing.
Click over.
Yeah, you hit this button on the diesel and she's done.
Crikey.
So why can't that be on all of them? I thought to myself.
Yeah,
and then I thought, you know what that is? That's a first world problem.
And that's why, Ants, we're ringing.
All right.
Or actually, you're ringing us. We'll take the calls. We'll listen.
Thank you, Bill.
And we'll critique. Well, look at them, Jim. They're ringing.
Everywhere. All right.
They're
133353. Ring in with your first world problems.
First world problems, Jim. I couldn't find the remote. 20 minutes I had to look around the bloody house, try and find it.
Yes.
I was all ready to go.
Yep.
My pillow and my little blankie to go to watch that TV.
That's it.
Couldn't find the bloody remote.
All right. So we say first world problems because people in third world countries are battling to eat.
Oh, I know.
And have running water and things like that.
So we all know that, Jim.
We can wine it up deluxe
in
our country.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm just explaining the whole concept behind first world problems, Bill.
No one knows.
Maybe they don't. So now they do. And Jack's in Turin. Willis.
Jackie boy.
How you going, boys?
What's the problem, mate?
Nothing worse than getting up in the morning, going to cook some nice fresh toast from the bakery.
Yeah.
And the bread doesn't fit in the toaster.
Too big.
Too big to fit in the toaster. Yes. Nice and thick.
New toaster needed your way, I reckon, Jackie boy.
Yep.
They're not an expensive purchase. You can get them at Coles, even things like that now.
Yeah,
your toaster, 50 bigger bucks, will get you a good one. Bigger toaster needed for you, but that is first world. Mark's in Vermont, Bill.
Marky.
Hello.
Yeah, what's your problem, buddy? Yeah. Sounds like you got one now.
No, all good. It's all good. How you going, Bill and Jim?
Yeah, going well, mate.
What are you doing, Mark?
What am I doing? I'm sorting out tools for work next day.
All right. You're getting yourself organised.
Yes, trying to do that.
Righto. First world problem?
Yeah. The problem is remote control, same thing.
Yeah.
And it's when the back of the remote control gets removed, batteries get removed because somebody's got a PlayStation and then nobody can ever find the back of the remote.
Yep.
And no batteries.
No batteries.
I know. Doesn't that annoy the hell out of you? We've got about five in our room, and the kids, as soon as one goes empty, they just
switch.
I don't mind them switching, Bill, as long as they don't lose the back.
Mm.
I mean, there's five remotes at our joint, all haven't got a back anywhere.
Or all the sticky taped up.
Yeah, that's the gaffer tape. I mean, I'm totally with you. Rod's in Pascoe Vale South. Hey, Rod.
Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How you going?
What's your problem, buddy?
Look, this one gets me every time. It's the little clip on your tongs. So you put your tongs away in your cupboard drawer and... somehow they've opened up in your cupboard and you're pulling your cupboard out and you can't get it out, but you break it out and it all just falls all over the floor.
His tongs are jammed in the drawer.
I love that. I do love that. That's funny. All right, to Aaron in Doreen, eh, Az?
Aaron's in Doreen, Jim.
Yes.
How you going, boys?
Good, Az.
Oh, no. The first world problem for me is after you wash your hands, after you go to the bathroom or something, and the fingerprint scanner on your phone doesn't work.
Hello.
You've got to put your PIN number in. It's more frustrating.
That's it. That's a first world problem right there. Gold.
That it is.
Well done, Brendan in Beverage. Hang on, Az. Hey, Brendo.
G'day, gents. How are we?
Good, mate. What's wrong, Brendo?
I had to switch cars with the old man the other day.
Yep.
He needed the tow bar, and his car doesn't have cruise control.
Oh, so you have to drive all the time.
But down the Hume Highway, geez, the calf got a bit sore.
No cruise control. What's he got, an old car?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he's got an old car, a little Toyota Corolla.
Oh, I like that. That's funny. All right, well done. And Marco in Footscray.
Footscray.
Winds us out.
Righto, Marco. Problem?
G'day, Bill. Yeah. Jimmy, how are you, boys?
Going well, mate.
Good, buddy.
When you go to the bottle shop on a Friday night to get your carton of beer for the weekend, and it's bloody warm when you get home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you've got to buy them cold, mate.
You've got to have them cold, nice and crisp.
But that's where you've got to, when you walk in there, you've got to make sure they're cold.
They don't turn their fridges down low enough, Bill.
Oh, right.
Mm. Well, I tell you, not the one I go to.
They're all cold.
Bill, you walk out there, like seriously, you need to put Band-Aids on.
High beamers.
High beam.
High beam on, Jim.
She's freezing cold in there, Bill. Telling you right now.
Well, that's it. You don't want warm beer.
No.
Cannot drink warm beer, Jim.
Impossible to drink.
Oh, they're assembled out there.
All right.
Look at them.
Chief.
Chiefy.
And Damo, of course. He just looks happy to be here, Chief. That's what I like.
Look at him sitting up
there.
When
you see him, he's just comfortable. He waves at us through the glass.
Hi, Chief.
And we're getting a double crobber at the minute.
With their two fingers.
The rude fingers right in the middle aimed at us. It's coming up. The midweek rub next.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Best piece of football of the afternoon.
This is the midweek rub.
People all around us getting excited.
Triple M rocks football.
Oh, I know, it's exactly what we do every weekend, of course. But then we give you extra during the week, Willis, on a Wednesday. We give you an extra helping. And that is Jason Dunstall, the all-time great from the Hawthorn Football Club. Four-time Premiership superstar, of course. And we have Damien Barrett, the number one newsbreaker in football. So the two big names come in and tell us everything that's going on in footy. Hello, boys.
Hello, Jim.
Jim, Bill.
Chief.
I like how excited you get, Chief, too. I just said that to Bill earlier.
I look forward to coming here, but we're a little bit early today.
We don't know why that is.
You're both sitting up or something.
Well, I think Topics Brownless was underwhelmed.
Brought nothing again.
First world problems. What are your? I know you've got a few problems, but what are your first world problems?
What are his problems?
I'll give you one.
Too many problems to name. But
the team that you kicked 1,000 goals for, one of the greats there, all-time
legend
greats.
Of the place.
We all put our hand up and say you were, Chiefy, but your team in crisis. Hawthorning crisis.
They're not in crisis. Yes, Bill. They're just down the bottom.
No, they're in.
They've just won 4 premierships in 10 years. I can cop them down the bottom, Bill.
Let's talk
that's,
about
that's the price of what you've done.
2017.
Yeah. It's not going well.
Well, now they've
got
to rebuild for the next lot.
Who's going to rebuild them, Chief?
Oh, there's the Warriors guy.
Who's going to be? Who is it, Chief?
Well, I'm assuming the people at the club will rebuild.
Who's there?
Chairman who no one's ever seen. They haven't got a CEO. Ooh, yes. Clarko's right-hand man's walked out.
Fagan?
You can't tell us who the new CEO is?
No.
Oh, do you know?
No, I don't. I thought you'd know. You normally know these
things. They delayed it till about this time of year, and because of that, it put a few people off. And I'm starting to think, Chief, there's only one man who needs to return to the footy club.
I think so too. Chief. I am with you.
You saved it once before.
The saviour.
You're going over old ground there.
I know.
Saviour. Very capable people there will make the decisions that need to be made.
I'm not sure there's people there to make decisions.
Of course
Clarko's
there
running
are,
a market. Fagan's gone. Mark Evans is gone.
Fox
has left to go to the MCG.
Yes.
Yeah, they've all been handpicked for bigger things, which is kudos to them.
But it's left Hawthorne in the lurch.
Are they vulnerable, Chief?
Vulnerable.
Is that with a double N?
and Noel.
Are they vulnerable in 2017?
Not on the field. Not only on the field, off the field.
No.
Yes.
Why?
Well, where is the CEO?
They're running a process. They've got a recruitment firm that is running the process.
It's been going
since
November.
No, it hasn't been.
Well, January at least.
Now you're just being
misinformed. Well, it's been going since January.
Come on, mate. Well, that's fine.
Have you got a thought of someone that could come back and achieve things with the club?
Jim, I just know that back in July 2004, when this club was in a similar position, with
13 years ago,
wanting to join it,
yes,
one man came.
One man.
And turned it round overnight.
Turned it round. Oh,
yes. Please don't carry on. There are well-qualified people that will make the decisions that need to be made. In actual fact, I think it's a blessing that they've gone as poorly as they have first up. Well, then you don't waste a year thinking, are we thereabouts?
Band-aids.
Can we do something? Yeah. It forces you into making the decisions, I think, in a quicker time.
Well, when the crisis was occurring in 2004,
yes.
Jimmy, he stepped up our
yes,
man.
Yes,
he came in as an interim chief executive officer.
Yes.
And on his very first press conferences, with the tie on
tie.
And the brown suit out of the brown Volvo,
no doubt.
Listen to this man's foresight back in July 2004.
And if there is a bold opportunity to unearth the next Lee Matthews or the next Kevin Sheedy, we would be duty-bound to pursue that possibility. As a result, we have scheduled interviews next week with John Longmire, Alistair Clarkson, Sean Wren, Matthew Rendell, Darren Creswell, and Donald McDonald.
Ooh.
Chief, you got it right.
I tell you what I did do. I was forthgiving with information.
Yeah,
would you? You wouldn't get told that these days, would you?
No way.
Just be up front. Let's go and do the job and then hope you did it right.
It's a fair shortlist.
Also spoke very well.
Sounded like someone had a hole in your pill bag. A bit of height about the voice.
I thought I sounded very official.
All I know is this, and we were obviously, and we still are great friends of yours, but we were great friends of yours then on air, especially the old enforcer and myself.
You took the piss more than anyone's ever.
You went down there in the brown Volvo and you single-handedly turned the joint
on its head. You deflated my balloon week after week after week, Jim.
Chief, we couldn't do that.
Every time I tried to pump some air into the balloon, you just go...
We
and
tried
just suck it back
with
out.
Everything we had to un-air that balloon and were unable to.
Yeah, but what they have had, Jim, they've had 10 years of one of the richest periods of the club's history.
That you set up.
And it's taken its toll. They will now have to reevaluate, reassess and rebuild for the next 10 years.
And I totally agree with everything you just said, but they need a visionary.
They need someone to steer that process through to.
You don't think Clarko's the right person?
No, of course he is, but he's the coach.
He's controlling
chief. He's the coach, Chief. Yes. They need someone above
Admin.
Him.
Graham Wright
in charge of recruiting?
He's a recruiter.
Well, Clarko recruited
about
last
someone
year.
With a helicopter view, being able to look down on things and go, right, now we're set again. And I see that as being YouTube.
Chief.
Have you thought about it?
No, been out of it for a couple of years. Happily did my time. Now you move over and you let others do
that. Okay. Have you thought about it? No. Have you been asked?
No.
Now that's a different answer, I would have thought.
And won't be asked.
Ooh.
Well, Chief, you are making things up now.
We heard exclusively on the Rush Hour.
What word was that?
Exclusively.
Exclusively.
So can we rule you out, Chief?
You can rule me out.
Chief.
All right.
I've seen you quoted before as saying, I would do anything for Hawthorn.
That's it.
Always have done.
I know you have. You've been an unbelievable servant of that club. But if they needed you again...
No, the game's moved on since then, Jim. We move on. There are others that are going nicely that will now make their mark.
You single-handedly.
It's a good time to challenge the people involved to see what they're made of, Jim.
I see. Well, I'm just interested in whether they might just go back to the Holy Grail one more time.
Right. Your boy's going any better?
No, I'm not talking about us, Chief.
I am now.
I want you.
I'm talking about North now, Jim.
I want you back there, Chief.
Right, I hear what you say.
Good.
What are we doing about North now?
Well, I've only just left.
Yep.
So you've
left them dilapidated, run down, and pretty much fly blind.
I'm not going back within a couple of months of leaving.
But what do they do, Jim?
I've been replaced by someone much better.
Thank goodness.
Whereas you... I think you've purposely chosen others who weren't as good.
We had our time talking about Hawthorn. We're now talking about North. Blowing. What do you do?
No. Oh. Going beautifully, Chief.
Does it hurt you where the Hawks are, though, Chief?
Come on, Chief.
It's a
proper answer.
I expected them to battle this year, whether that was just inside the eight or outside the eight. I thought that'd sort of be, 7-10. But they've gone, it's hit them a bit quicker. And as I said, it's not necessarily the worst thing that could happen.
Well, it is when you haven't got a draft pick in the first round.
Yeah, and see, people always jump on about that. I've got no problems with that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you finish whether bottom three, four, five.
Well, but whether it's one or whether it's 15 makes no difference to me. They recruited two midfielders that are 23 years of age. You get 6 to 8 years of the prime careers of Tom Mitchell and Jager O'Meara.
Yeah.
No guarantee if you used a couple of draft picks that you're going to unearth players like that. So I know people keep jumping up and down about it. I have no problem because that is a decision driven by the future of building now a team around those two midfielders. No problems with that.
Who are jumping up and down about it, Damo, are the Saints.
Well, why not?
They're getting better. Their position's getting better and better.
Yeah, they'll be filthy if the Hawks win a few late and just jump up the ladder a couple of times.
Yeah, and for those who I'm assuming would have caught up by now, Jim, but for those who haven't, that was a transaction to get O'Meara and Mitchell in last year and offloading the first round pick in the this year's draft bill, as well as a second round pick, which ultimately now is linked with GWS's finishing position only in the second round. So if they win the premiership, Chief, it's going to be pick, 38 or thereabouts.
You can get a gem 36. With that.
36.
A beauty.
You get a gem. Well, it's not 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5, which is what your ladder position is going to indicate.
There's plenty of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks over the last 15 years that have done nothing. Bust.
True. True.
No guarantees, my friend.
There isn't, but there's also lots of real good ones.
Well, they have.
Chief, let's move on to the Tigers. Are they worthy of full Melbourne, as in the city, full Melbourne swagger?
Not yet.
Well, I think they've got it.
Not yet.
The ones I know are
very good luck to them. The great thing about Richmond winning is it's got their confidence up. So we get an opportunity to see them at their best, and let's really see what they can do this season. So they have a pretty healthy list.
Yep.
They've got their confidence up. They've got some wins under their belt. They can just really attack the season now. But they still, aside from beating West Coast here, who haven't won at the MCG, I think, since Moses retired, they haven't beaten anyone of genuine quality as yet. So I just want to see them do it. But I think the competition's better off having Richmond up and running.
No doubt.
Play
Melbourne. Interesting.
Good game.
Very good game.
Melbourne threw one away last week.
They did.
They'll be
last two.
And the week before, too, to a point.
It should be 4-0, nearly, Melbourne.
Exactly. Yeah, they get
not many teams are 4-0, Bill.
There's only a couple of very standout teams. But at the minute, you would say the two standouts are the Giants and Adelaide, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you're just happy to fly.
Underneath, you'd say that maybe the Pussycats. But you'd have to say it'd be Adelaide and Giants out in front.
They're flying.
There, they are flying, those two.
The Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, round 6 and 7. Adelaide is at the Adelaide Oval. This is for the Tigers. And then they come back to play the Dogs. So we'll know more about them then. They're very hard teams to beat, those two.
And even one out of those next three is not the worst result for Richmond either, is it? It still sets them up with a 5-2 result, if that is indeed the case.
Yep.
So you give them that. Yeah.
You take that all day long.
Yep.
But we do like them with swagger. Oh, I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm coming around to it.
When they start to... And as I say, our man on the hot breakfast, Mick Malloy, he leads the charge. As the more swagger Mick gets involved in, everyone in the supporter base just jumps on him.
He can't turn, though, too, Mick, can he?
Well, no, very sharply, as can his mates. Yeah. They've been bitten for a long time. But I love when they get up and about. I'm with you. I think it's going to be brilliant. Speaking of big clubs, Essendon, did John Worsfold get it right in the presser, Chief?
I'm not sure I would have been saying hit the wall. And look, he's referring to the players that copped the suspension and have come back and the toll that it's taken. I probably would have found a more subtle expression to perhaps describe the fact that they're going through a trying period physically, if that's what he thinks, or mentally. I don't know which it is, but I don't know. I would have said hit the wall. Not around four, Jim, because you're a long way from the finish line.
I don't ever understand, Damo, why any coach in a presser gives players a fire door. I'm not for singling out players.
No, you're not.
Ever.
No.
But what's wrong with just saying, no, we weren't good enough?
Yeah.
And we've got work to do. Yeah. And it's going to start on Monday.
Yeah.
I don't get why you're ever any more expansive than that.
Whether he was actually trying to give them the out publicly, no. I don't know. I mean, he's not one to be that forthcoming as a rule, John Worsfold. He's been that way as a player and then as a coach at West Coast and at Essendon. He's very good in all those facets. But yeah, whether he just thought that in saying that it was going to allow the narrative around what they were doing to be received that way, that, hey, give these guys an out. But I'm with Chief and you. I just think it puts it into their head for those who actually haven't been that tight.
Yeah, and as you say, when you're a long, long, long way from the line, it's painting a grim early picture of the resilience of some of his players.
They've had a good break, though, haven't they, from their last game coming up to the Tuesday game they've got against Collingwood on Anzac Day. So you couldn't use it as an excuse. I mean, you pay big money to your fittest people, Bill, to
also
get them right.
Oh, and that's what they're there for. But also, Adelaide are going to smash a lot of teams by 50 points over there.
Yeah, yeah.
As they did with the Giants early on, didn't they?
In round one.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Set them up for the year. So,
Chief, any chance of a rollback at Hawthorn? Of some description.
Chief?
No, Chief.
Just,
well, just something.
If I could impersonate a cricket, that's what I'd give you right now, Jim.
Cricket. Well,
Jim was a cricketer.
If you can impersonate Leon Spinks or someone like that, you might just land one on me, Jim.
Oh, no. I could land one on you without a shadow of a doubt, Jim. I don't need to impersonate.
It was nice seeing you, though, Chief, because we did get the audio of that, and we also had the vision of it. You had a nice... Oh,
I don't recall saying that, but
very nice.
Now, we've got video
well
of it.
Well, delivered.
Very eloquent.
And
it?
Open.
Yes.
Very open.
Can you believe you read it off five coaches?
So Clarko got the gig. Who was second?
John Longmire was second.
He was second.
She was a hungry media throng. Billy, you've got to give him something.
Oh, yeah. How many were there?
Oh, packed team deep.
You would have loved it. You would have waddled out and would have loved that. Oh, look at me, the Chief's back.
Waddled out.
Out there. Clarko, Longmire second, wasn't it?
Darren Creswell was in the mix. Sean Wren. Who else was it, Chief?
Well, in the end, we spoke about a dozen.
But you had eyes for one and one person only. Look at the decision you made.
Not until I've spoken to
him. But look at the decision that
one of the most inspired ever.
Probably the best coach ever.
All right, let's move on.
I liked when you used to sit behind the mahogany desk, though, Chief. That was where you were at your best. Parked behind there. And everyone just came in.
Were we in a time? Is that a time warp or something?
Yes, we are.
I loved it, Chief. I personally, that's my favourite time.
We've moved on from all of this.
I know we have, Chief, but I'm revisiting.
What did he do in the car park too, Jim?
No, he used to put the number plates. So the gate going into Glenferrie, if you were finished, Bill, and he had to lop 30 or 40. So if you were finished, in the end, Chief couldn't be asked with one-on-one mahogany desk style, listen, mate, your time's up.
So he
just used to put their number plate on the gate.
Did he? And that means you're out.
Did you do that, Chief?
Saw your license plate. Don't worry about coming
in. That is.
Chief.
That's extremely disrespectful.
You would have spoken.
Everything was one-on-one.
One-on-one. You would have done that.
You just needed to be efficient with your time, Chief, and I absolutely love
the number plate.
And then you took over the Jockeys Association after that.
Turn them around, too. We need to take
turn
a break.
Nowhere.
And eight, four of them.
Lots more to come on the Midweek Rub.
Was that your joke?
Midweek Rub on Triple M with James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall and Damien Barrett.
Oh, yes, and everyone loves it. Of course, we get to the top and to the bottom of the very big issues. Now, Chief.
Yes,
Chief. The weekend. Anything you've heard that's drifted out of...
Well, there has been a little bit.
Go on.
Am I allowed to bring it up?
Yes.
What, Chief?
Do you have no commitments on the weekend just gone, Bill?
Church on Friday, Good Friday.
Did you happen to go out Friday night?
I can answer that for him.
Did I, Damien?
Yes, you did.
Oh, right. Oh, yes,
did you happen to be out Saturday morning still from the Friday night?
Damien?
I'd gone, but I heard you were, yes. So I can answer that on your behalf too.
I forgot where I lived.
Were you at a licensed establishment in the early hours of Saturday morning?
No, Sunday. No, yes, I was. I had a couple of frothies
without
Friday.
Without your shirt?
No. I wouldn't have done that, Chief. I would not have taken my shirt off. Don't worry about that.
So. Did you or did you not dance with your shirt off,
Bill?
At one stage, it might have got ripped off me.
Oh,
Bill!
Oh, no. Bill.
Who would have ripped it off you, Bill?
Any one of six.
Oh, you can't. Bill. Bill.
No, I did.
So your form was okay?
Having a bit of fun, Chief. I was more Adelaide Giants than Hawthorn North.
What?
Thinks he's flying.
One v two.
Bill. How many times have we, as your mates, told you to keep your shirt on, no matter what the circumstances?
Yes, I get excited. I get hot.
Oh, really?
Yes, I get the big... I get sweaty and I get hot, Chief.
Did it... Oh, my God. Please don't. Did it help you achieve your goals that morning?
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Well, maybe it harpooned any chances he had.
Greenpeace are at the door.
Bill, keep your mates in mind when you're behaving
that
way.
I think you're allowed to have some fun, Jim. You still are. I don't know if I got taxed on it, but I will one day.
You are.
How are you reading North Korea and America,
what,
Chief?
What have you got there, Chief?
I've got a photo.
Oh, no.
Of Bill with his shirt off.
It's
on one shoulder.
Bill, it's been sent in during this discussion.
Oh, it got sent in, did it?
Yes.
Who from?
No, I won't tell you.
And won't say who it's from. Bill.
Janine would have
taken that.
I'd
like to think you're better.
Who? Janine, his wife.
Hey, we need a bit more footy before we get to... What was that? What was that word you just
said? Enamored. Which is a good word for him.
Yeah, but he didn't get it out right.
Enanum. Chief, because you're worldly and you're very clever. How are you reading old King Jong and over there at North Korea? Kim Jong and America. Chief, how are you seeing that?
I don't know enough about the situation to pass comment. Other than the fact that it's very volatile at the moment, and who knows what's going
to
happen.
Now, Bill, we are in the middle of the midweek rub, so we should get back.
Well,
to
we like footy. To broaden.
I know,
now,
but
right.
Yeah, we'll just bring it back.
It's not all footy.
A couple
footy,
of
footy.
The deliberate out of bounds that happened out of centre stoppages. Are we taking this too far?
I actually don't think so. I know there's been some examples, Jim, which have been highlighted, and we've discussed them on the rubs on the Saturdays. But provided they keep maintaining the way they're adjudicating.
But even when you're coming out of the centre stoppage, that's my issue. It's not even
that's
any...
the 301. The 301
was bad. Yeah.
Kirsten Shankhurst.
Yeah, there was another shanked kick that ended up going sideways.
Zaharakis.
Yeah, I just... Yeah. That's what worries. If that part of the ground is surely not deliberately kicking the ball to go out of play.
If they change what has been traditionally referred to as the deliberate out-of-bounds rule to you haven't done enough to keep it in rule, I reckon in the mindset of it changes it to a point. Now,
that's how they adjudicate. They just haven't changed the wording yet, which they should. And that'll make everybody else accept it a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah. And look, part of this debate too, Jim, people who kick the ball out on the full don't ever, it may have happened once or twice in the history of the game, may have once done it deliberately out on the full.
Yep.
So it's a mistake, isn't it? I think
The Zaharakis one was.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirsten I genuinely think was trying to get territory and the ball just went further than he wanted it to. But the Zaharakis one was just a kick that went off the side of the boot. And
but you can understand the umpire in that situation because he's actually facing where it went out of bounds. He's tried to kick a banana.
Right.
And he didn't get it off it actually went straight. So if you're facing the half-forward flank, and that's where it goes out. I can understand why an umpire would pay that.
Yep. Is that because the game awareness wasn't as it should have been?
If you're not at the right angle, you're not quite sure what type of kick he's going for, are you?
No.
It's happening very quickly.
No.
And I don't mind Essendon getting penalised.
Chief, just on rules, and we don't weigh it down too much on Triple M, but I haven't heard your view for at least a week on the third man up situation. I haven't seen heard what you have said about the most recent controversy in the North Bulldogs game.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's such a big controversy. You say controversy, don't you?
It depends how it comes out.
Yeah, I'm not as fussed as a lot of other people are, and we're only a month into it. It'll settle down. I really don't see what the big deal is, to be brutally honest.
I think Jim's got the right solution for it, and people are starting to embrace it, Jim.
Oh, no, but Chief's not with me. I just said get rid of the nomination. Just let two ruckmen go up, and if anyone comes up third, they're penalised, and then we won't have to worry about it. That's my view.
It's common sense. That's
a difficult one, though.
Why?
Because then if you have an inherent understanding with your ruckman, he can balk as though he's going to go up, and then someone from a completely different angle can attack the other ruckman, and it's kind of like he doesn't know where it's coming from again either. Still only one person goes up. I don't like that. Or you know what would solve the problem, Jim?
What?
Turn the umpires' mics off while they're nominating to begin, and then no one will care. Turn it off, turn it back on once they've thrown the ball up, and no one will care.
It just appears to me that the whole nomination process has caused all the confusion. Hey, just on another thing, getting back to the deliberate out-of-bounds on the full, Chief. If you're trying to chew up time, or not chew up time so much, if you're trying to reset the ground, and you and I both know that often coaches, when their players get all caught down one end, want the ground to be reset. What's to stop a player, if he's on the wing, so nowhere near either end where the bags of balls are, kicking it 400 rows into the stand?
A big torp under the grandstand
roof. And
then
just by the time they get the ball back and hand it to the player who's going to bring it back into play, you've reset the ground. Ever stop that from happening?
Absolutely nothing.
And it'll only ever happen once, and then they bring in a rule to stop it.
Balls on the side.
First bloke to do it, there's your thing. Just turn around and kick a massive torp up onto the second tier where Simon O'Donnell hit Greg Matthews.
Depends who catches it in the stand. They might send it back just as quick.
that is true.
That's a good idea, Jim.
Collingwood, where are we at with the Maggies?
Oh, is that for me?
Or anyone?
Well, they're not going particularly well. We know that. They lack finishing polish. There's no doubt about that. Is it more than that? When you see them put pressure on like they did up in Sydney, it was brilliant. But why are they not doing that every week? That's got to be the non-negotiable. But there's definitely a lack of skill level in the makeup. I never rated that list the way other people did, and maybe I'm harsh, but it's easy to be objective when you're not invested in it. I thought it was just a run-of-the-mill list compared to some of the others.
Even their midfield group chief, I reckon.
Midfield's the best. Yeah. Good midfield. But the back six and the forward six are very light on.
There's a disconnect, isn't there? Midfield, forward, chief. There you go. They're not working in tandem. They're not working as a team.
Were you trying to speak then, chief?
I thought so, but it's okay.
Oh, it's a Hawthorn dribble again.
You're not going to win if you've got a weak back six and a front six forward that isn't functioning particularly well.
Chief, you're one of the greats in that forward line area. What's happening with Darcy Moore?
Well, it depends what they recruited him for. I mean, when you look at the history of what he's done at all levels, he's never been a dominant, take 10 marks and kick 8 goals type of player.
No.
So
got low stats, didn't he, in junior footy, which people keep reminding us of.
So what do we think he is? That's the query.
What do you see in him?
In
the two seasons.
I probably haven't seen him enough. So I'm making a very judgmental call that's not based on a hell of a lot of evidence. But
I don't
see him as a key go-to forward, put it that way.
So is that for the entirety of his career or at this stage of it?
Well, if he hasn't been up until this point, you're probably not going to turn him into one,
right?
So he needs some help, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
So is it a read?
I'm
or
not saying he can't be a very good footballer and have a long career. It's just a matter of
get
what
someone
you
down there
to get out of him,
yeah.
And so what's going to be his best role for the club?
So they need to then go to the recruitment again.
No, but this year
at the end of the season,
they need to recruit key position players, Collingwood big time, because they've invested the last 5 years been a lot about the midfield, and they've done very well. They've got a great midfield.
Very good.
But it's not complemented with, I don't think, key position structure at either end.
Is the way modern footy's going, Chief, where it is so athletic and up and down and hooking back to the goal square and all the rest of it, is that actually going to suit his sort of personality and also his physical, makeup?
If he's good enough to read the game, I don't know what he's like in that area. And maybe he's a second ruckman that can play as a third tall forward, but not be one of the go-to guys, and that might be a way to get him into the game. I'm not quite sure. As I said, I haven't seen enough of him, and I didn't see anything when he was coming through the under-18 system either. So it's a matter of, let's not say he was meant to be the saviour, because I'm not sure that's what they got him for.
Really? They've had massive reps on him?
Yeah. Well, they have, but as a key forward or as a ruckman, as an athlete?
As a contributor who is not at that level right now. Yeah. Hey, Bill, Alan Christensen, revealed today by the Brisbane Lions that the shoulder injuries he has had for some time are no good again, and on the back of returning to football via the kneeful on the weekend, is now out for the season again. Hasn't quite worked out for him, has it?
Had 10 tackles on the weekend in the kneeful, and then has had scans, and it's another broken collarbone, so he's out for the year. He just can't get – he's obviously concussion there for a while at Geelong, and then he went up to Brisbane. He hasn't had a good go at it at all. Mm. And when he was up and going, he's a premiership player, 11, played a very vital part. Remember him taking a wing against two Collingwood players.
Yep. Spun him around
and took off. Yep. He was a very good player, and just – unfortunately, hadn't had game time or a chance to get going. It's a shame, though.
Hey, Bill, the joke.
No.
TV.
No.
Already? We got already nothing else. Ready with the
This is Billy's joke.
Harley Bunnell,
Wayne Carey in, and Chris Golding, of course, Australian boomer basketballer, coming in tomorrow.
Latest on your man, Harley.
We discussed it pretty much at length yesterday, Bill, and there's no update.
Just shorten it up
today. Oh, well, he's had some more troubles with alcohol, and he's got a bad calf.
Well, it was on the list here, that's all.
Probably a joke.
Yeah, I've got a good joke for you, Chief. What do Hawthorn and mobile phones have in common? Both start with 04. Chiefy?
See, that's not bad.
That's not bad,
Chief. Give him that one, Chief.
Was that the joke?
No. Oh, that was just a little warm-up. No, just someone.
You did.
Worked it out.
You did not work.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, mobile phones and
but
Hawthorn.
You could have said Sydney. You could have said North.
Well, you're sitting here, old King Chief, and I said Hawthorn. I went to a party the other night.
You did.
And got your shirt on.
And I was dressed as a chicken
for a little bit.
I ended up with a girl who was dressed as an egg.
Oh Oh, no.
A lifelong question got answered that night.
Oh, no. Bill.
It was the chicken.
Oh, Bill. Bill. Come on. Oh, he likes
TV!
He likes that
TV!
That's the first one he's come out with. A little giggle for the team.
It's taken 5 years, Bill.
How many years? How many years have I been doing
Six
this?
Or 7 years.
I tell you how good that joke is, Chief. No plastic.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, Bill.
Bill. At first. I liked it.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Particularly because you were the chicken. Yes. And we know it's dead set. That,
we know that's true.
Yeah. That is, for the first time, we're not going to finish with plastic having to lift the show back up again.
There should be something else that we play. That's
what do you want, Chief?
We Are the Champions by Queen would be more triumphant for you. Or well, something Leroy. Along those lines. What else would you have?
A bit of Def Leppard.
What would be a great song?
Def Leppard. Haven't heard of Def Leppard.
Horses.
Oh, no.
Horses. Well, Daryl Braithwaite.
Yeah, Daryl.
Come on.
Or hit me with your rhythm stick.
Quiet, right?
Quick, right?
Oh, here we are.
This is for you, Bill.
We need the chorus, to be honest.
But you've committed plenty of crimes.
You have. Very nicely done, Bill.
Yes, thank you.
Finally something from you. Thank you, Chief.
Well done, Bill.
Well done, TV.
Well done, Bill.
On your Damien.